101.9 FM, streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKV app for Android and Apple users. Tonight's program is made possible in part by Whitaker Bank, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Clark Regional Medical Center, Toyota Sound, People's Exchange Bank, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security and Fire Systems, and let's join Ken and Dave for PCSN Live from the Stanton Studio.
Good evening and welcome everyone to another edition of PCSN Live here on WSKV 104.9 FM. Again, we'd like to thank all of our listeners and it's not Christmas yet. We got a couple weeks to go on here on this PCSN broadcast. It was a short week for us this week, broadcast-wise. We had a game Monday with the girls, game Tuesday with the boys. Next week will be a busy week, also the last week of school before Christmas break. I think we have broadcast Monday, Tuesday, Friday, Saturday next week.
Let's see, that'd be the 11th, the 12th.
15th and 16th.
The 15th, the doubleheader.
Doubleheader.
And then the 16th, the girls play Leslie.
Yep. So we'll have actually five broadcasts. Not counting PCSN Live on Wednesday.
Correct, yes.
So every night but Thursday, we'll have something on, and Estill County may have something on Thursday night you can listen to from as far as sports is concerned. So, again, it's a busy week on WSKV sports-wise. So, again, that's one of the reasons we ask that come out and sponsor. We'd like to have new sponsors for broadcast. There's plenty of opportunities. Again, we've already told you of five opportunities next week where we'll have broadcasts here. And I'll tell you, it's well worth the money that you're spending for the advertising.
Well, Monday night, Tuesday night, tonight, that's three in 3 days. Again,
and
when
next
you
week it's actually six in 6 days.
Yeah. So again, at that point, you're looking at again. If you just took those, you're still getting a good deal. Obviously, you know we have more beyond that.
Yeah, it's just again, we'd like to have more people come in. It would be just. It would help us out. It'd help the station out again. We're not making a lot of money, so like to have more people come in and sponsor. Again, trying to do both schools and bring you the best coverage possible with the different video types that we have. People here in the studio having to work because we have to sync up the NFHS with the radio. It takes a lot of people to run this, and again, we need more dollars to get it done.
And or business could be an entrepreneur, meaning you could have a home business, right? A little side hustle that you do, no matter what it is that you're selling. And again, try and reach more listeners, more people to direct them to your website to order whatever product or service you may have.
If you're a parent of a player and you've got something going on like that, it's a perfect opportunity
to
get yourself some advertising out there as well.
And we know people listen. We can back up the data.
We do know people listen. Again, we are getting a lot of the kids. We know a lot of the kids listen to us. They'll go back and listen to some things. We talked about some things earlier. Maybe get your feedback. Maybe let us know what you think of maybe trying to archive some of the game broadcasts. Since now we're in studio, we can just record the games. You can go back and listen to those live. If you don't have to have the NFHS app or the Facebook, you can still go back and listen to a recording on the radio. If that interests you, just kind of maybe shoot us a message, send us an email, WSKV. We'll kind of maybe get a kind of look and see how much interest there may be in that.
And Facebook would be very limited as
very
far
limited.
As the
basketball.
Exactly, very limited in basketball. Most of the schools anymore have NFHS. If we're doing Facebook again, it would be maybe district, region.
We may have
away district games.
Three or four broadcasts that may be Facebook this year, and two of those are at Owsley and one's at Lee.
Yeah.
That's really about it. That's a possibility for Facebook this year. So,
right. Besides the tournaments.
And that's here.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's
correct.
So it'll be all NFHS as well. I think it may be by that time, it may be on Facebook for the tournament. I think they can do those things with both Facebook and NFHS during tournament time.
And if you're interested in watching the video of the game, again, we're plugged into the video as far as the audio aspects. But if you're interested in the video, NFHS, subscription-based, $70 a year, you can watch any team that has the NFHS, sponsorship? I'm not sure. You know,
has that available.
Yeah, right. The service. At that point, then, if you want to watch somebody in Texas or California and they're dialed into it, I mean, you can watch any high school sports around the country, no matter what the sport might be in the season.
We'd like to mention this, too. One of the things that Ethan has done for us here is he got the NFHS folks to archive the games.
Yes.
So Ethan was responsible for that. They did not offer that service until Ethan got in contact with them, and then now they're archiving. You can go back and actually rewatch games that you could go back and watch them. You couldn't get the audio link.
Prior
to Ethan having the conversation. The video links were there, but not the audio links. Now you have an audio link with the video. Makes it for better viewing purposes. Again, it's much better for that. And again, you can thank your own Ethan Moore for getting that done for you.
Yes, so, absolutely.
Anyway, well, we'll step away, quick break, come back and talk about girls basketball here on PCSN Live.
Protect Security and Fire Systems. Your security is our business. Visit the Powell County Sports Network page at WSKVFM.com.
Are you considering a new home purchase, a remodel, or even starting a business? Are you looking for a stable partner you can trust to help you understand your options? This is David Johnson. I'm the senior commercial lender at Whitaker Bank in Stanton. As part of your community, I'm here to help you understand the best options for you today and in the future. Give me a call at 606-663-2283. Let me show you what Uniquely Kentucky means.
Whitaker Bank, Uniquely Kentucky, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Count on Clark Regional Medical Center for quality health care close to home. It's why we're here, providing compassionate, personalized care whenever you may need it, so you, your family, and our community can all thrive. Because no matter where you are in life, nothing is more important than your health. Clark Regional Medical Center, from the routine to the unforeseen. Count on us. Learn more at clarkregional.org.
Welcome back to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. This is Dave Fowler along with Ken Simon. And again, we said we're going to talk girls basketball. And the girls have got off to a relatively good start to start the 2023-24 season.
Yeah, I'm definitely pleasantly surprised. You know, they lost the first game on the road at Perry County Central, but then came back and won against Jackson City, Garrett County, and then on Monday they beat Wolf County. 3-1 are the Lady Pirates. Impressive play. Again, that was the first time we got to see them on Monday night, but I like what we're seeing so far.
Well, and you'll hear this comparison a little bit when we talk about the boys too. The girls, and I use Makaira for example. Makaira is a fantastic player. But she has slowed the game down for herself. To me, it's made her game much easier. She's not going 120 miles an hour. She's going now where she can go with speed to where she can control it pretty well. The team is playing really well behind her. You got Trinity Romans adding in with the threes. Zaylee Strains the other night, who hadn't hit a three all season, hit four. The kids are playing well together. That's the key.
Yes.
Big kudos to Rob and Roger and the coaching staff for getting that done, because that's something that this team I thought lacked last year. And right now, again, next Friday we'll kind of get an idea of where they are with Owsley County. Again, you're talking about one of the top two or three teams in the 14th region, prediction-wise. So you'll see that next Friday night when you play the doubleheader. But those are some things that I'm looking forward to, is just to see how we play against those players versus, you know, how we play against anybody. We looked at this team and thinking, wow, we could really struggle coming out of the gate, and they've played really well.
Yeah, and I think on one hand, knowing that there were some unknown factors as far as who would potentially be playing, realizing we lost quite a few seniors last year, who was going to come back, who was going to get that playing time. Trinity Romans has stepped up really big. Makaira is being Makaira, being that steady and person.
Not as many points, but better game.
Correct. Yes.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, she's a little bit more well-rounded.
She's got less turnovers, more assists, more steals, or just as many steals. And her points are fine because she's now getting supporting members of her team to chip in as well.
Takes pressure off a little bit.
I think so. And again, she's a fantastic player. She's going again. She's already signed to play, committed to play. She'll do well. And I think what I'm seeing now can go to that next level and be productive, because that's the one aspect of the game that I was worried about, whether she could have control and slow it down. And she's playing just fine, slowing it down a little bit.
I think on one hand, especially for younger players, you feel like you have something to prove, and therefore maybe you give a little bit extra, and sometimes that can be out of control extra.
Yes. Looks out of control.
Yes, it? And I would say at this point, maybe a little bit more maturity, knowledge of the game, right? And now at this point, okay, let's just breathe in. I can take my time. I have the support staff. Not she didn't have it before, but I think she took some pressure upon herself. Now she knows I have additional players that I can feed it to. They can feed it back to me, and we can have more of that team concept. Again, not that they didn't have that before,
right,
but I think she's allowed that pressure to be taken off of her to become a little bit more well-rounded.
And knowing you can go to other, and like, you know, Trinity led us in scoring the first three games we played, I believe. Zaylee led the other night, and that's the first time that someone else led besides Trinity. So when you have, again, your leading scorer from last year, almost 20 points a game for Makaira, it's kind of letting her teammates take the lead on the scoring. She's still getting points. She's still getting close to 14, 15 a game. But it's, again, I think her assist numbers are up. I think her steals are about what they were. She's not fouling as often. She's matured quite a bit since last year. And that has to be, some of that has to be on her own, because I think she, as a player, you have to realize, have to come to a realization at some point, okay, maybe I need to do this different to be better. Maybe I need to do this different. And whatever, however she got to this conclusion, it was a good conclusion for her to get to.
Yeah, and I think with her as well, realizing that she has signed to play collegiately, takes that off. I've already impressed someone enough that they've offered me the scholarship. So that's off the table. Now I can go out on my senior year, can have a little bit more fun, still press and, you know, be a little bit more, what am I looking for? More of a leader, right? And therefore, as the point guard, now here I can dish it off. I can get it back. I can score. I don't know how many points she got on steals and layups, but she still has that part of her game. Now I think she's just a little bit more patient.
I think so, too. And again, she's taking, well, at least in that one game we saw, more quality shots. And, you know, there was a time where she threw some shots up trying to draw fouls. And that's something I think the boys are still doing a little bit, maybe too much, because nobody's calling it. So, again, if the officials aren't calling it, let's go somewhere else. But, again, that's something that these kids have got to realize with playing the game. You know, if officials aren't calling this, then let's do it differently. And I don't think they called it enough last year. Maybe they finally come to realization they're not calling it, so let's just play a different way.
Yeah, and I think even for Trinity Romans stepping up, you know, again, she's averaging, you know, almost 20 points per game.
Yeah.
She was down a little bit here on Monday, but someone else stepped up.
Well,
so therefore,
also,
when you have that ability to have multiple players who are capable of scoring at any particular time, that takes that pressure off. But even with Trinity, she's kind of, to me at this point, she's just a junior, but to me, she stepped up her game enough to be a very complimentary player with Makaira.
Yeah.
Then you throw in an X factor like Zaylee Strange out of nowhere. She gets 16 points the other night, has four three-point field goals. Couldn't have expected that out of Zaylee. I respect the fact that she stepped up her game, and she's willing to take that open.
And taking those shots.
Willing to take that shot, yeah. Exactly. You know, when you have it open and she's willing to take it and she was draining them, that is, again, I'm proud of players that are willing to do that.
Yeah, I don't know what her percentage was. She's probably around 30%, I would think, on the night. But still, for a person who normally go out there and take those shots, that was a good night for Zaylee. Then the last game against Garrett County, it was Jesley Centers who chipped in with 11 points.
Yes.
The Pirates get over the top.
Yeah. Again, when you have those players that are capable and willing to step up, and then you start making them, now you build that confidence. Like, you go into the next game, it's like, well, I can do this again.
Well,
I can repeat that.
Well, it was a couple weeks ago, I guess, we talked about this, about the girls. We knew what we were going to get out of Makaira. We had a pretty good idea what we were going to get out of Trinity. Who else is going to step up? That was
right.
Our question. We have to have a third player to chip in and chip in considerably. And so far, the Pirates have had that third player step up in the games that we've won. And that's, to me, is key. I think you need You need five players to get to score to stop what Wolf County was trying to do to us the other night with the triangle and two, to put more pressure on, you know, Trinity and McKire to keep them from getting the shots off or getting the ball back. You know, that's something that McKire has done a good job of adjusting to. Now Trinity's going to have to find a way to adjust to that, because I think they're going to probably see more of that as we go forward. But the, like I said, Trinity's going to have to find a way now to where she can get herself open and get those looks. I think that's one of the reasons her scoring was down on Monday night, because of the triangle and two. I don't think they played a lot of that against us. We played a very familiar foe with Wolf County. They know our team as good as anybody knows our team. And the difference maker was Zaylee, I think, because she had shots that they weren't even trying to guard. And I'm sure Gary told the girls, let anybody else shoot that wants to shoot it. And that come back to bite him a little bit.
You're right. And so not only Zaylee, so again, we, you know, counting McKyra and Trinity as being the stability as far as what we expect out of them. Yes, exactly. But then now you have Zaylee and Jess Lee. If they can continue to step up their game like that, Jess Lee didn't.
18 points a game.
Jess Lee had 4 points the other night. She had a couple of open looks, maybe a little bit out of her range, but I would still like to see her, when she gets that ball around the arc, the three-point line, step in a little bit or whatever, take a couple of dribbles, maybe pull up for that jumper to be able to hit that shot, because obviously we know that she's capable of doing that, again, having gone and scored. Step up her game offensively a little bit more, and then even Emily Reed. If Emily can get 4 or 5 points, those opportunities, you know, when she's out on the floor, I think, again, those three players can really make a big difference for this
Emily
team.
If Emily could average 5 a game and you get Jess Lee and Zaylee around 7 or 8 a game, it's a difference maker. And again, we're not talking about you have to go out and score double digits every night.
Right.
Again, playing at a little bit slower tempo keeps the scoring down, so you don't have as many points to have to win the game. Again, I've talked about that all the time about possessions. The less possessions anybody has means the less times you have to be successful scoring and still get the same result. Now, maybe you can force the other team to take some bad shots. You get those easy rebounds. You're getting the putbacks. It's flipped. But if you try to get that a speed game going, as I call it, if you're not shooting the ball well, it's not going to turn out good most of the time.
Yeah, I think you're right. So if you get those players
missed, right?
kind of. But at the same time, obviously, offensively, if you miss the shot, you've got to be there to pull in those rebounds to give yourself those second chance opportunities. Excuse me, but those players, whether it's Amelia Cook, whether it's Jess Lee Center, Zaylee Strange, somebody needs to step in and be able to crash the boards, to give those extra offensive possessions, run a little bit of clock, make sure you get a good shot. I'm not looking for, you know, Jess Lee, Zaylee, or Emily to take a bad shot, but we saw Jess Lee had multiple times. They weren't even, when she would get the ball, they were ignoring her, basically. So again, when she needs to recognize that, I'm willing to step up, take some shots. Once you make those, gain that confidence now, just like Zaylee in that respect, right? Now going forward to the next game, now I've got the confidence to know when I have those open shots, I'm taking them.
Well, that's the key, is getting the confidence. This group is still and very inexperienced. You know, really Trinity and Makaira and maybe Emily, I would consider them fairly experienced. And Emily's really not that far in.
Right.
You know, this is a really young and inexperienced team. Even though
court time,
yes, I'm talking about playing basketball, understanding the game. This bunch hasn't played that much. That's why I'm so impressed right now with the job the coaching staff has done to get these girls to where they are, which I was not expecting a great outcome going forward. Is we're getting more out of them than what I thought we would, and even the JV is playing better now. So that's telling me that look, our numbers are down in girls' sports around the board. We've got to get more kids interested in playing athletics here at Powell County. And it's down, I think, everywhere. It's not just here. But we've got to get these girls back interested in participating in sports. We got to get better, you know, feeder programs going with Little League basketball, with Little League baseball, softball, whatever it is. We got to get our kids out to build these programs back up, because we're getting ready to go into a low spell, because we're not getting very many kids from the middle school. I mean, I'm not knocking middle school, but we're not getting many kids playing at the middle school level to get those kids to come up and play. We're just not having enough kids that are playing that makes a big difference. So,
including the feeder getting down to the elementary school level.
Yes.
COVID
has really, really slowed us down considerably.
It did, and maybe 2 years ago at this point, two and three probably, they were having to combine girls' little league and boys' little league basketball just to have enough players to compete. There weren't enough girls to have multiple teams. So, again, it would be nice to have those girls to come out to play the game. I'm not sure where that love for the game stems from. I don't know if it comes from your parents, your grandparents. Like, somebody has to have an interest in that sport in order to instill an interest in your child in that sport in that regard.
We don't have goals up outside anymore as much. We have on video games, basketball. It's not the same. You know, I know some of these kids, they'll go home and be taking shots tonight. They'll be outside shooting the basketball under lights and whatever. But used to, you could go up in the mountains of Eastern Kentucky and go through Powell County, and you could find a basketball game going on outside.
Well, it almost didn't matter what season it was.
No, I tell you what.
Kids will be out in this weather.
I'll give you this story, and we'll venture back to high school athletics in a minute. I live in Roslyn. I lived in Roslyn when I was younger, and across the road was the Goodwin Farm. It was Virgil Dalwina Goodwin and their kids, which was James Goodwin, who went to a state tournament, David Goodwin, I consider one of the best basketball players to play in a long time, his brother Billy, Virgil. The whole family could play. They had a goal set up on a big tree. I don't know what kind of tree it was, but it was a big old tree. Dirt, goal, and probably five or six Hall of Fame members playing on that, I'm not calling it a court, on that
makeshift, right?
Whatever it was, you could go down there and you could find 8 or 10 guys that were playing basketball all the time. And then you drop what. Go down the lane a little bit to Connie's Grocery, had a goal outside his store on the old, where the old train station was, had a goal outside there. They'd move the game down the road to play at Bernard's, go and get us something to drink. We'd play outside there. And again, some of the best basketball players I could remember playing here at Powell County were in some of those games, you know, for a long time. As long as some of the good ones were playing, it was just, I'm telling you, some great basketball was learned at those places, because if you're smaller, you got to figure it out, because those big guys are going to wear you out.
Sure.
But again, you don't see a lot of those games going on. You know, we would play, you know, basketball there. We'd go out and play football. We'd play wiffle ball in the summer. It was different sports all the time. The big field out in front of next to the parsonage, had great football games there.
Sure.
Wiffle ball. But kids would get out and play. That's what I'm talking. You don't see that anymore.
No, it's become video games at that point. Kids don't go outside. You're exactly right. And that's unfortunate. Even the sixth grade girls at the middle school basketball players, when they were in fifth grade, at least the girls from Bowen, they would be in the gym playing against their fifth grade classmates, boys. Competitive. I mean, they weren't backing down, aggressive. I'm looking forward to, and hopefully those girls stick with it, just to see where they are at that point, realizing that they weren't, again, they're not going to back down. They had that within them, that they're going to be competitive, and they're stealing the ball and going for layups and shots and just.
Yeah, but if they go for a 3 or 4 year gap where they don't get to play any basketball, then they lose interest. And then by the time it's time to come up to the high school and play, well, we haven't been playing.
Right.
Because there's nobody to really play with or against, and we just kind of stop playing. And that's what I don't want to see happen. We got to get these kids, whether the community builds a indoor, which would be great if the community could build some kind of a indoor basketball facility that you could do other sports, but, you know, basketball have 2 or 3 floors, playing games all the time, where it's more of a community service, and maybe you can run your leagues through it, but at least you give these kids an outlet to go play outside, inside, versus going to the courts and playing all night long. You know, and put a roof on that sucker, maybe see what you
can do. Yeah, you're right. And even with the girls, so last year, again, those girls, they were playing on a regular basis. Now, I don't see any girls in fourth and fifth grade that are even playing. I'm not saying they're not doing something. You know, maybe they're gymnastics, cheerleading. You know, maybe they're involved in something else. But in general, there's not those basketball girls that I'm seeing like I did the last couple of years with those particular grades.
And we have new sports now these kids are really interested in that the numbers aren't as low. The older, I call older sports, basketball definitely, and then softball, who is the next, I guess, oldest girl sport. We're seeing a big-time decline. And I'd like to see those numbers shoot back up magically, but it's just somebody's got to put effort in and to try to get something started. And I think it has to take all of us, the community, the school. It's going to take the whole county to get involved to be able to build something back for these kids to be able to build this for the future.
But where does that come from? You know, just even, I don't know. I don't know my life without sports. Honestly, from either. The earliest of ages, like I feel like we were always outside. We were always, whether it was wiffle ball. Yeah. I mean, we would literally play. I lived on a street, and at the end was, you know, the T where the, you know, the other street intersected. We would literally play baseball in the T of the road. Yes, we broke windows, car windows, home windows. Yeah, we did that. We played with a real baseball and a wooden bat and all that stuff. But we were still out there playing on a regular basis, no matter what it was. We were even playing in the street. We used telephone poles as touchdown markers, touching the street, tackling the grass.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we would do that all the time. But again, I don't know what it was like to not be playing sports in the neighborhood. But at the same time, where are these kids? Where's that coming from within themselves? That's what they want to do.
Streets now.
Well, I mean, when you look at, I mean, there's no true subdivisions.
Well, I was going to say, but when we were growing up, the traffic was not nearly what it is now.
Of course. Absolutely.
I mean, I could remember, you know, when I'm 16 years old, we got this parking lot extended out to the second parking lot now, right?
Yeah.
That's all student drivers. We could barely fill the parking lot.
Right.
When I was in high school. I mean, it was, you might have 40 people drive cars when I was in school. Now it's 80. It's doubled.
Right.
You look at the lanes of traffic we have now here. You never had this kind of traffic back 40 years ago.
Oh, no.
So those days are probably gone, like you're talking about in the cities. You know, even where I'm talking about, like, you got more homes. You take away the farmland and all the places you have to play, and you take those things out. And again, you know, I guess you lose some things, but you know, and some things it comes out good. I mentioned the Goodwin family, how athletic they were. Now they're musical. So you know,
sure.
So you know, you got the Goodwin brothers that play music, and they're fantastic at it. Maybe, and they chose a different avenue than sports, and that's okay. But our love is for sports, and I like to see it thrive and not get behind. And I don't know. I don't like the trend. I'm seeing where it's going.
And how do we change that? That's just it. Like, how do we instill that desire, that competitiveness?
All we do is talk about it out here and hope they're listening, but they're probably not listening to us because they don't like sports, right?
Correct. Yeah, so that, again, I don't know if that comes from the parents. You know, my son-in-law appreciates the fact that my daughter knows sports. She's in, you know, fantasy football leagues and stuff like that. You know, I mean, she enjoys it. She knows when the right guard is pulling in football, you know. She knows when there's a screen or a pick or whatever. She knows, but again, I grew up enjoying sports. I instilled that within both of my kids who are sports fans as well, and I don't know if parents are just not conveying that to their kids because maybe they're not involved in sports or weren't, and again, I don't know how we reach those kids in this day and time and without it being, you know, some video-oriented something.
I think it's probably more about you're lucky now to find two parents ever in a home, and then you're lucky again if one of them's not working all the time.
Good points. Yeah.
I mean,
you're right.
You have so many single parent families, and then that parent has to work more because they're the sole breadwinner, and there's nobody really to kind of give you that direction. Our kids that have supportive parents are who you usually see on the floor and on the field.
We don't really have the way the layout of the land here in Powell County. Yeah, there's little pockets. You go to Airport Subdivision, but still there's a lot of traffic. There's not really, nobody's really kind of connected in some ways because of the way the traffic patterns are. You can go off of Maple Street. Yeah, there's, you know, some houses and things, but it's not like you've got in the city subdivisions where you got 200 homes just making up a number, you know, kids in, on but every you, other house and just.
But you don't even see basketball goals up in those homes anymore. Like if you're going to the city, you don't see a lot of goals outside. Because usually they probably won't let you have a goal outside. You know, the homeowners group or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't know.
I don't know how kids can even get together to even do the stuff that we were able to do.
It's really hard. You can find a way. But like I said, I think it has to be almost like a community center.
But then how are they getting there?
Well, no, I'm saying, I think if the parents, this is a scapegoat. But if the parents say, okay, look, I'd like to get rid of my kid for a little while tonight. I can take him down to the community center and play basketball. Well, guess what? We're at least getting the kid to see basketball, you know?
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying that would happen, but I think it's sometimes parents get tired too. It's a good 3-hour break.
Oh, sure.
You know, I mean, I know when my parents, I guess, didn't want me around the house, they'd take me to the golf course, leave me all day. I was fine playing golf all day. Or when I lived at home there in Roslyn, I'd go across the road and we'd play whatever, you know, it didn't matter. And then they'd always feed us dinner too. You know, that was always a good thing. But those things were just kind of commonplace back then. But now we got to find a way to get to these kids. And without the, you know, the parental support, and I'm not saying, and then I'm not knocking parents because I know you're doing the best you can. I hear this a lot from kids. If you play sports, you're elite.
That you think that's the mentality?
I know that's the mentality. Kids think a lot of time that if you play sports, you have more. The kids don't make that difference.
Right.
But the kids that don't participate make that difference. And I really think it's more about family support. I don't know how many times where I was coaching whatever sport it was, I've been asked, where's so-and-so? They were so good in Little League. They were so good in this league. They didn't come out. Well, you need to go get them to play. I can't make them play.
Right.
You know, first of all, it takes parents to be able to get to the games.
Money.
It takes
gas. Time. Sure.
Yes, and then usually they have to, if you go on all these trips, they need $5 or $10 a game. And now if you go watch a game, if you're the parent, you're probably spending $30 a game just to get in to watch. So the cost is there. To be elite now, it's really expensive. I mean, if you want to be like one of the best, you've got to
travel teams everything,
and
right?
All this stuff. It's way over the budget of most of those families. But if you had a community center that were everybody's welcome, and I just think that's maybe the only saving grace in all our sports is those type of leagues where it doesn't matter. I don't think there's that. I don't think the people that play sports think they're better than the people who don't. But I think the people who don't look at the people who do as advantaged. And I will say this. When you look out on the basketball floor, and we're talking about basketball right now, a lot of those kids have two parents at home. Some don't, but
right,
a lot of them do. And if it's not for that parental support, they're not there.
True. Yeah,
and
you're right.
I think that's part of our gap.
And obviously including potential older or younger siblings.
Yeah.
Right? So now all of a sudden, you know, the parents got other siblings to take care of. I don't have time to take you to.
They got
to
go work. You know, got to make some money because you got to help us at home because we don't have enough money. And
I don't have time to take you from West Bend to Bowen
right.
to practice two nights a week.
Which was, you know, we got away from the schools, and then that barrier came in, right?
Yeah.
And then you figure it out. That was probably a bad move to get away from the schools because Kids bowling, practice bowling. Kids are standing, practicing standing. People in Clay City,
right?
Practicing Clay City.
Practice should almost be after school as a club type setting. Where all of a sudden you're going from 3:30 to 4:30, you're already there. Now I just have to worry about picking my kid up at 4:30, 5 o'clock,
and be back in the schools that kind of ran that way, right?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. If anything, you give the parents an extended babysitter while your child is being productive playing a sport. Now, does that equate to anything long term? Maybe not. But
you're going to get more interest than you don't. That's at least a start to the fix. This is just my humble opinion. You can't make a kid, you know, like sports. That's just not the way it works. But you get them involved in the sport, then they may start liking it at some point.
You can almost say that for any number of things, right? That's again, right. What starts someone interested in music, and now I'm going to be in band, right? And when I'm going to be in the pep band and the marching band.
Positive
or
peer pressure.
Sure.
You know, I mean,
sure.
And again, like I said, I wish I would have played an instrument when I was growing up. I wish I'd have played the piano, and I wish I'd have played the guitar. The saxophone, I really love the sound of a saxophone. I wish I could play those three instruments. But that takes time. If I wanted to go play sports, that's what I did, but I didn't want to take the time to play an instrument. And man, I look back now, I'm thinking, man, I should have done that.
Sure.
You know, there are regrets we have, but there's sometimes you have to give up something to get something. And I didn't want to give up a chance of playing sports to learn those instruments back then. And now I wish I would have taken the time. It's life stuff that you can do. You know,
sure. And I think even for us, the socioeconomic aspects of the makeup of our community, we have 70% of our student population on free or reduced lunch.
Legitimately.
Yes. So therefore,
everybody's getting free lunch.
Right.
But the majority's already there.
Yes. So therefore, 70% now, the single parent, multiple siblings, at that point, who has the money for the gas or the time to take your child to do that?
Only
so therefore,
only a few or those who really stretch it.
So you limit, right, the number of kids who can play. Because if you look during the summer months, look how many kids are out on the basketball courts playing. And to be honest with you, a lot of those kids are probably top-notch basketball players. But
not
I can drop...
Not under structured basketball.
Correct. Not under...
Or can get to practice every... Like, this is what kills me at our school. Like, now you got three groups with gym time. Girls basketball, boys basketball, cheer. 3:30, 5:30, 5:30, 7:30, 7:30, 9:30. Number one, you got to bring them back for the late practice. You got to pick them back up late. I got to go to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's the process.
It's a big strain.
My thought of the parents. Hope you hurry up and drive so you can bring yourself home. Then you got to make money to drive the car. So, I mean, there's a catch-22 anywhere you go.
There is.
Facilities. This is why I harp on facilities all the time on the show. We need more facilities for our kids because our kids are getting cheated by the system. We got one gym for three seasons, three sports going on. It's unfathomable that we only have one regulation high school gym floor in this county. It's
especially when you consider the enrollment numbers.
Yes. And
right.
other places have got like an old gym that they've kept up and running, or they've got that. We don't have. We got one.
Yeah, and it's old enough as it is.
And then we got three elementaries and a middle school. But the middle school, they got four or five people fighting over time there. Then the elementary school, I don't think maybe the league basketball uses it now, but you only really have one legitimate floor that you can play on with people watching. You can play at Bowen, you can play at Clay City, but you can't have people in Clay City. Because their gym's just the way it's built. And I'm not knocking Clay City. It's just, that's just the fact of it is. And if we get a new school and it's got a smaller gym, then that doesn't really serve our kids. And
that's the last, and we've talked about this. That's the last thing we need is a non-regulation size gymnasium floor.
Yes.
At any new elementary school that is built here.
And understand it's for elementary, but you know.
I get it's money too, but it's an investment in our children's future.
It's 400 square feet at the most.
Yeah,
you know,
right,
not like, you're not talking $1 million. You're talking a couple thousand.
But even if it's $20,000, just for the sake, it doesn't matter. You're making a long-term investment for the community, for the students, for the future kids that are coming
then
along.
Then the latest any of your kids are out is going to be 7:30.
Yeah, correct. At that point, let's make it a little bit more attainable and reasonable for the kids, and let's make the investment. Unfortunately, we've not made the investment. In the 30 years that I've been here in this community, as much as it has seemingly grown, it really hasn't a lot.
No.
Not compared to other places.
This is my 35th year in education. My second year, we had the new high school football field. The complex was built. That's the last time we've had anything done, really. We've had upgrades to all the fields, a little bit of upgrades, but as far as anything really new going on.
But even the upgrades are more along the lines of a maintenance aspect. Paint. Have to be those
new
upgrades.
New bleachers at the high school. We've got new bleachers
right
in, at the lower level. The city's done some things with the baseball field. We put some new concrete and new stuff up at the softball field. But, like, no major upgrades. Just minor cosmetic stuff that really doesn't matter. You
but
know,
while,
the important things have not been done.
Correct. And so not only are we having a reduction in student athletes, especially on the girls' side, but now we're not making the investment in facilities like other people, correct, like other communities are that are smaller even than our community. But they're making those investments, and where are they going to be? Again, we're always one step behind. And it's not, and again, it's not right. It's not fair to our kids.
Again, sorry, we get away from it. We go on this tangent every week, and we could probably, every night, we could probably have a show on this.
Well, just so you know, if David and I ever decide, maybe we'll run for public office and, you know, change the world.
Well, I think we're echoing a lot of sentiment that
I hear. Nothing personal against anybody that's currently serving.
You know what I'm saying? You hear the same things I hear.
Absolutely.
People are really frustrated with what has happened. I understand part of it in the, since I work for the school system, I get part of it.
I mean, there's only so much money to go around, and I understand that.
I get that, but we've still got to try to find a way to do better than what we're doing.
It's just even if that means, like we've talked before, I don't care if you're bringing in the county, both cities, the school district, the businesses, the infrastructure, whoever it takes, let's collectively, all together, let's get involved in this.
Maybe very unpolitical right now.
Well, we've done that before.
But, you know, we've got a county of
13,000.
Well, I was going to say we got a group that runs for the county, and then we got a tourism, a county tourism, a city tourism, a city tourism. Why can't we all just be one?
I mean, you could say that about government.
Oh no, it is government.
Well, I mean, as far as like
we got groups in this county.
It's about power and control.
Fighting over the same money,
power
to
and
better
control.
The kids. If you all get together, you can still do the same thing for all parts of the community.
I understand. But I'm not going to have the power that I currently have.
I get it. But
and that's what's disturbing to me. That's what's disturbing to me. If you're not in it for, let's listen, at one point, and I'm not doing this as to brag in any way, shape, or form. At one point, I was on approximately 25 community organizations, coalitions, committees, you name it, in order to make a difference. And my kids would be like, Dad, why are you doing this? You know, because, you know, we're not going to be here when those things are implemented because it's not about you at this point. Yeah, I want to make a difference. No different than site-based council when you and I were on site-based council together. I'm not so much worried about what I'm doing for my children today as much as it is, let's make sure that we're making improvements for our children of tomorrow. And unfortunately, a lack of a vision and the people will perish, and we don't have a collective vision in this community where we want to go, because you have the city has their vision, the county has their vision, the school system has their vision, and everybody else has their own, and we're not on the same page, and therein lies the problem. We can't collectively come together because
so
people
Ken
want
and
the
I, again,
power.
Write this down, December 6th, 2023. We have agreed again on something outside of Bobby. I'm just teasing.
But listen, if you and I can agree, and obviously we have differences in different areas and whatever else, but we can still agree to disagree and still want to make progress for our community and children.
Burns both of us.
It does. It does. If you're not about the kids,
they're our future. I just don't see fighting over for $10 here and $10 there because it really don't make a hell of a difference. But if you get together, you can make a powerful impact in this whole community, and I wish we could do that as a
There's no reason that this community, more than 30 years ago, couldn't have been a many Pigeon Forge, a mini Gatlinburg. Oh,
yeah. That like brings up a different debate, yeah.
I know, but I'm just saying, but again, when you look at that opportunity as far as revenues, tax revenues, et cetera, there's no reason that we shouldn't been on board with that a long time ago. But
50
the powers,
years ago changed,
but the,
right?
But the powers that, well, that's true too, but the powers that be, some people wanted it, some people didn't want it, and therefore people can't get together and come up with a plan.
Listen, we've made some good moves going forward. But we still got to find a way to pull everything together and make it better for everyone. Versus, you can't have Slade, Nada, Roslyn, Stanton, Bowen, Clay City, wherever. You can't have all these separate entities. Let's have one. Let's just have a county tourism. Let's have
Because on one hand, it still goes back to when you look at Bowen, Clay City, and Stanton, they all filter into Powell County Middle School. They all filter into Powell County High School, where we do have all of our kids ultimately come together in unison. Instead, oh, we got to have this one competing against this one and that one, and therefore people are disjointed as opposed to being together. Thus, even going back to the little leagues, as far as the school, it's one thing if I want to be competitive against you and I want to beat you, but at the same time realizing, hey, you're a good player, I'm a good player, I can't wait to be your teammate when we go forward, right? Because I have enough respect for you that we're going to be there at the same time.
I think we fought that for a long time. When you're from Bowen or Clay City, you didn't like each other. So when you became teammates, you still didn't like each other.
Yeah, because somehow that was ingrained from your parents. It's, you know,
somewhere.
Yeah,
exactly. The kids would be fine if they leave them alone.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Well, I mean, hate is a learned behavior.
It is. And again, I shouldn't say the word hate, but it was almost a bad rivalry. But now I wish we'd go back.
But it was a manufactured rivalry by adults.
I don't know.
Coaches
for sure.
I'm just saying, but kids don't see that kind of stuff. No. Kids don't necessarily see disability or that you're different or anything. They just see another kid.
Until we tell them
that there's a difference. Yeah, you're exactly right.
There you go.
Sorry, that's our political recap.
Welcome to the Ken and Dave political show here on.
And don't think we've not talked about it before.
Political.
Doing that.
We'll be back in a moment here on PCSN.
Since opening in 1972, Citizens Guarantee Bank has been there to help our customers enhance their lives and achieve their dreams. With 7 locations across Central and Eastern Kentucky today, we are celebrating 50 years of being there for the communities we call home. Citizens Guarantee Bank is now CG Bank. New name, same commitment to being there for our neighbors. CG Bank, we've been there for that. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Richmond. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
New driveway, parking lot, or large aggregate need? Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in all things crushed aggregate. They provide expert delivery and more, depending on size of application. Call Natural Bridgestone today at 606-663-2815 or Tipton Ridge Quarry at 606-723-4881 or find out more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
Trust the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital, when an emergency strikes. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is a level 4 trauma center where you can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. You can feel safe to come to the hospital campus. Following CDC guidelines, our providers and care teams are doing everything possible to ensure your safety and well-being. Choose the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvine.
Yeah. When you need insurance, contact Whitaker Insurance Group in Stanton, proud sponsors of the live broadcast of your Powell County Pirates on Pickup Country 104.9 FM.
Appalachian Wireless has extended this sale through Christmas Eve. Save up to $850 off select devices. They're going to tech the halls with the latest and greatest devices with no activation fee and up to $850 off. Hop in your sleigh and go to your favorite Appalachian Wireless location or visit AppalachianWireless.com for complete details on getting up to $850 off the latest and greatest devices. We are you. We are Appalachian Wireless.
Terms and conditions apply. See AppalachianWireless.com for complete details.
Hearn Funeral Home has been family-owned since 1939 and is currently under the direction of Hondo Hearn. They have proudly served the families of Powell County and other surrounding counties for over 75 years, helping them to celebrate with compassionate care, dignity, and respect at an affordable price. Contact Hearn Funeral Home for all your pre-planning needs at 606-663-4375.
Welcome back to BCS and Live. Hopefully, we'll get through the next segment with boys basketball.
Yeah, part now we're
I mean, it's something that just typically happens here. We just kind of
we don't have conversations.
That's why we need to have more guests, because we can't get off on these tangents.
Either that, or we just need to start another show where you and I are just tackling, you know,
and
these
anybody can call
issues.
In and free to grump and cry if you want to, right?
Why shouldn't they? You know,
they should. They're paying the tax dollars, right?
Well, let's just recap just real quick. So the Lady Pirates, and again, our apologies, the Lady Pirates ended up getting a nice victory over the Wolf County Lady Wolves. The final score, 47-42. Makaira Cottle, 19 points. Zaylee Strange, 16 points. Trinity Romans with 8. Jess Lee Centers with 4. Could improve their free throw shooting. They went 12 out of 20 on the night, but hit 5 3-pointers.
That is 60%, though.
That is 60%. I like to see that closer to, you know, 70, well, 75.
Needs
but,
to at
you
least
know.
Be 65 to be acceptable.
Yeah.
In my book.
But nonetheless, the Lady Pirates are 3-1 on the season. Their schedule coming up, the Lady Pirates will be on the road at Morgan County coming up on December the 8th. And then December the 9th, they will be at Breathitt County before returning home on December the 12th. Against Jackson City, and then the 15th, Owsley County, the 16th, Leslie County. So they'll be away the next two games, and then home coming up on Tuesday.
And now the abbreviated version of the boys. I'm just talking real fast to get there.
So, yeah, and now the boys.
Now the boys. We got, again, I can't say enough of last night's game. I'm going to really dwell on the losses. We'll just leave the Williamstown, Augusta losses as they were.
Well, they came in 0-3. Well, at least say that, 0-3, facing off against Montgomery.
0-4, where they were playing.
Yeah, Montgomery comes in 2-0 on the season.
Down a point guard, Cam Del Rosario was out. We had another player that was out, Ramsey, and then found out later we got a couple kids that were really sick and been playing last night. So, I tell you, it was as good as a game as I've seen this group of kids play.
Agreed. Yeah, I think a complete game, almost from the start to the end. A little breakdown in the second quarter.
Had runs. There were runs.
Yeah,
in the game
on both ends, yeah. Both sides.
But Powell County had some really bad runs. They went up 9 once and went from up 9 to down
3 or 4.
So,
well, actually down 5 and then it cut to 3.
That's a really bad run.
Yeah,
that's way too long. But you can't. You know, you can't go on those bad runs like that. You know, a couple of possessions, limit your possessions with a bad run, stop them, and you win a lot of games that way. And, again, it just comes down to number of attempts versus number of attempts, which is about possessions. And I think Montgomery County had several turnovers. When they all figured it out, they had several turnovers. Powell County, I think, won the rebounding game, which probably shouldn't have ever happened. Like, it's a team that
not based
was
on the
bigger.
Height, yes. Yeah.
But, again, they were taller but not playing their positions that they were tall in, if that makes any sense.
Well, that's where it goes back to, though, and we've talked about this, that if I'm down underneath and I'm 6 foot and I'm going up against a guy that's 6'4", all I have to do is get in front of him and push him out, right? Now you're either going to go over the back, right, or I'm going to get the rebound, in theory. So therefore, positioning, and I felt like that the Pirates last night did an excellent job of positioning themselves to get those rebounds. I don't know how many second chance opportunities we had, but it was quite a few, and there were a couple of critical ones as
I
well.
Think you got when you had they had the 6'7" kid sophomore, but he's a more of an outside player. Like a 6'4 kid that played some outside, some inside. I just don't think they were around the basket a lot. And then two plays at the end of the game, and I mentioned this with the kids after the game during the interview, Bryson Edwards had a rebound and Braden Brandenburg had a rebound off of a couple of Jack's misses.
At the free throw line.
At the free throw line. And both of them got key rebounds. And both times, Montgomery only held one player to rebound. The far side left.
Yeah, they are already clearing out.
Clearing out.
I don't know if they were thinking he was going to make it or what.
Either make it or our guy's going to get the rebound. We're leaving one guy. But, man, why would you do that? And our kids got two big rebounds, got the ball back off those free throws. And now you have to call them good misses because we were able to get those extra possessions that took time off the clock against Montgomery and helped us get that cushion where we needed up to that point, three possession game with very little time left. And then what I thought was a couple of kind of ill-timed timeouts by Montgomery County, which I get calling timeout to talk, but I'd rather call my timeout when we just scored or we're getting a basket, when I don't have many left versus using them when the clock's already stopped and I got to get a couple stops now. They didn't have time on the clock to be able to try anything. So, I'm glad they wasted their timeouts. But again, I thought the game was played really well. I thought we had more control of the ball. Dylan Carter, again, had a fantastic game in Cam's absence. But Dylan's a different player than Cam. I'm satisfied with Cam. Maybe if he scores 2 points a game, just facilitating the ball. Dylan kind of played a little bit different game last night.
A little bit more on the attack.
Yeah.
He ended up with 15 points.
Listen, you get 15 out of the point guard, and you also have Jack on his normal game, Brayden on his normal game, and then with what Bryson Edwards been doing.
Edwards scored 25, 6 of 6 from the free throw line. Dylan Carter, again, he scored 4 points in each quarter, well, with the exception of the third or the fourth. He scored three, had a chance to get four, but missed one of the free throws where he went 1 out of 2. 15 points for him. Jack Rose, 18 points. He had eight in the second quarter alone. And then in the fourth quarter, he had about that many as well. Finished with 18. And then you have Braden Brandenburg, who finishes with 12.
Yeah.
So, you've got four players in double figures. If they can get that type of consistency and effort, I'm not saying that Bryson has to go out and score 25 or anything like that, but if those players can make that type of contribution like they did last night, no matter if it's a rebound, an assist, a block out, a screen, a loose ball scramble, if they can play like that last night, again, good things can happen to them. Now it's a matter of whether or not they can continue to carry on like
this. Those four players scored 70 points. That's my quick math.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
Is that right?
69.
60, okay. So if those four players score 69 points every game, I don't care which one of you all scores the most. It's 15, 17 points apiece, right, per game. You get that kind of production out of four different guys on a basketball floor in high school basketball, you're going to win a lot of games.
Correct.
Because you can't play this guy like he's our leading scorer. We got to stop him. We got to stop four. You don't have four good defenders on any team to be able to stop that whole group. So you get four guys that score between 50 and 65 points, you're going to win some ball games.
And Daylon Williams off the bench gets 8 points.
And he probably played the best game I've seen him play in high school. He was more under control. He still took a couple shots that probably should have been taken. But more control, limited his turnovers.
He has a little bit of the, I'll say, kind of finesse and quickness, a little bit erratic, like Mekhi Ricotta, like we were talking earlier. He's trying to use that speed and quickness. He's trying to make things happen as opposed to at times letting the game come to you. And I'm not saying you don't force the action, but at the same time, sometimes he can get himself in trouble.
Yeah, I agree.
By maybe dribbling in too far and penetrating. Now you're blocked off. Now who am I to throw it to? Now you get a turnover. Right. So, again, just needs to be a little bit more smarter under the circumstance. But still, contribution of eight.
That was a better game for him.
Oh, yes. Agreed.
Because he was under more control than what we usually see him in. So, if you thought he was out of control last night, look at other games, he was much better last night. As a team, total team effort, and the boys after the game, I was really impressed with, especially Jack. He kind of showed who the leader was, I think, of the group.
Yeah, when we were interviewing...
at least the vocal leader, right?
Yeah, exactly. At least the vocal leader. But he had a great perspective of the game.
Yeah.
He has a high IQ, just like the rest of the players do. They have a high IQ for the game, and they kind of know. And I think they have found themselves, maybe, especially after last night, because nobody... Listen. I don't want to say nobody expected them to win, but again, historically against Montgomery County, we do not have a high winning percentage.
Alan texted me last night, first time since 2003 since we defeated at Montgomery County. Now, I think there has been a time where we didn't play Montgomery. Not because we didn't want to play, because a lot of times that, here's the deal. Montgomery, if they play Powell and win, what's the expectation? Montgomery wins, right? But if we play Powell and lose.
Oh, that's a hard sell, right?
Yeah.
That'd be like about us losing, and no disrespect, us losing to like a Jackson City or a Lee County, Owsley County, historically.
Well, I will say in basketball that way, because sometimes...
Yes, of course, yes, yes.
Baseball, yes, I'll say that about our program. But if you lose a basketball game to Powell and from Montgomery, that's a tough one to swallow. Again, you've got three or four times the student body. You've got three or four different types of facilities. You've got... I mean, they brought their own chairs in last night to sit in. So, I mean, you know, you've got those things going on for you. But Powell kind of gets the win. It was a huge win for the team. But they played such good team ball. And that's the message I think the three kids were alluding to. Hey, we're playing team ball. We're playing together. It's not like, it's not me. It's us. And we're sharing the ball. And I think they're doing so much better at that. And if they continue to do what they did last night, they'll continue to win some ball games.
Yeah, because they were distributing the ball. They were passing the ball. They were trying to find the open player. Yes. They were trying to make things happen for themselves. Again, if we could see this team consistently, good things can happen to this team.
Get healthy. I know Jack.
Yeah, sure.
Jack's under the weather, so Jack, get healthy. I know you're probably listening. But you guys take care of your bodies, and your health has to come first. And, again, we don't want you down for 2 weeks versus one or two games, but Powell County's got a game coming up, Friday or Saturday?
We're mad here. The boys are actually on the 8th. They are at Model. And then on Monday, a home game against Buckhorn.
So Friday, right? Friday's the 8th?
Yes. And then at home on Monday against Buckhorn. And then at home on Friday against Owsley County.
Let's hope we don't have a trap game against Buckhorn. Again, Buckhorn, whoever knows about Buckhorn? Because they can show up and beat your brains out.
Well, they have defeated us in regional tournaments before. When we were expected to win straight up. So
don't overlook them.
Well, don't overlook anybody.
No.
I could care less. You can't afford to do that.
You can't overlook anybody.
You can't afford it. Listen, even going back to Kentucky losing to North Carolina, Winston-Salem, or whatever the team was.
Wilmington.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
They were a pretty good team.
A pretty good team. But again, they're not supposed to lose. So again, don't pay any attention to what's on that jersey. No matter how big you think it is or how small you think it is, you better come to play every time.
They just had a bad night.
There you go. Let me say this real quick, too, to give a shout-out. Aiden Larrison came in and gave some good minutes as well. Got in a little foul trouble, but still defensively, he really did an outstanding job. He got 2 points.
Yeah,
but
I love Aiden.
But, yes, that the effort that he put forth, again, you need that type of player as well.
I'm proud of Alan for giving the starting spot, because that was a totally defensive starting spot.
Connor Morgeson as well.
Connor went in for the last couple minutes of the second quarter. I expect to see more out of that young man going forward. We'll see. But he played 2 games prior to that, so he was probably a little tired anyway. But I do want to cut a couple things before we go off the air. Lost one of the first softball players ever coached that lost this week. Shelby Walters McIntosh passed away, and I think her funeral is tomorrow.
Today. Yeah. It was today. It was today. Yeah.
And then, Greg Brewer, a classmate of mine, passed away this weekend as well. So I do want to send thoughts and prayers out to those families. Big losses, and I know Greg had been sick for a while, but he was such a great guy. So, again, if you know any of those folks, just tell them we love them and praying for them, and send our best thoughts to those families. So, for Ken and myself, I'll say good night and see you all We won't see you, but be on the air again next Monday night against
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Monday. Yeah, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday.
Get with us.
Yeah. Go Pirates and Lady Pirates.
See you next week.
You deserve a bank that truly values you. At People's Exchange Bank, they pride themselves on providing personalized service that other banks just can't match. Whether you're needing a checking account, a home loan, or financial advice, our team of local professionals have you covered. Visit 53 East Pendleton Street in Stanton or visit them online at pebank.com. Join their family of satisfied customers today and experience the hometown difference at People's Exchange Bank, where banking is about you. People's Exchange Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Allen's Hardware is a hidden gem in Clay City and known for their dependable down-home service. Visit Allen's Hardware at 30 Black Creek Road and you'll find Valspar Paints, Echo Power Tools, Electrical Supplies, Septic System Accessories, Key Cutting Services, and even U-Haul Rentals. That's Allen's Hardware at 30 Black Creek Road in Clay City. To find out more, call 606-663-1122. That's 606-663-1122.
At Wells Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. One such opportunity is the funeral or memorial service. Such a loving event celebrates the choices they made, the relationship you shared, and honors the memory of your loved one. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event. Contact us today to discuss the possibilities. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us at 777 West College Avenue in Stanton.
For PCSN Live with Dave and Ken, right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. Streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKB app for Android and Apple users. Don't forget, tonight's program is available on our on-demand player at listenlikealocal.com. Powell County Sports Network would like to thank their sponsors, Whitaker Bank, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Park Regional Medical Center, Toyota South, People's Exchange Bank, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Physical Therapy. Pick up country.